following podcast may contain spoilers, profanity, and views or opinions that may not be representative of the author's intent of the articles discussed. We don't always take ourselves or the subject matter seriously either. Listener discretion is advised.
The following is a Galactic Network podcast.
Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 232, recorded on Friday. That's weird. December 8th, 2017. I'm Dave Nelson along with Mr. Brad Ludwig. Hello, Brad.
Hello.
Coming up on this episode, we'll take a look at Britain's alien invasion plans and tell you where you can study for an alien invasion. Plus our sighting, along with the picks and warnings. Before all that, though, the question.
Dave?
Huh?
Dave?
Huh?
Hey, Dave, what's the question?
In the spirit of the holidays, Brad, I have a Christmas question for you.
All right.
What classic Christmas movie and or TV special do you think aliens would enjoy the most?
I want to go with It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this one. Okay, go ahead. Explain.
It gives you a chance to look at the human condition, and it gives you a sense, I think, of humanity needing to analyze whether their life is worthwhile. It would give you a good, solid impression of what humans, what middle-aged humans could be like, having that midlife crisis, and that need to analyze their lives. I think that's where I'm going with that.
Okay. Well, it's a nice story too. It tells a lesson, a life lesson, right? And it shows humans, well, both good and bad, right?
Yes.
There's no sugarcoating it, really.
No.
Okay. No, I like your answer. I like it very much. Along those same lines, I think I'm going to go with, and this is one of my favorite Christmas specials, A Charlie Brown Christmas, for much the same reason, because it shows what Christmas can be for some people, but then also it shows what it should be like, right? Like it's like all about consumerism and getting the best tree, and you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that, but then at the end, Christmas is all about, you know, being with the ones you love, you know? It's all about, you know, the true meaning of Christmas, kind of. And I think the idea of Christmas would be a universal concept for even aliens, unless they want to eat your face. maybe not then.
I think that Christmas being a mostly Christian holiday, as it were, or at least it was taken over by the Christians, however you want to phrase that. I think the core of wanting to be a better person and to show appreciation and give gifts and to try to find some form of harmony, I think, is something that I think aliens would really kind of latch on to more than anything else.
Yeah. Again, if they're the right kind of aliens.
Well, yeah. If they were xenomorphs, no, they really don't care.
Or the Greys. You know, let me abduct you and conduct some scientific and medical experiments. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho. Take that.
In the news.
Our friend Nick Pope is back, Brad.
Nice.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, boy. Yes.
He shows up on almost every single alien-related documentary series on the TV. He actually used to be part of the United Kingdom's Ministry of Defense, or as they call it, MOD. And he believes that the threat of alien invasions is serious enough that we should be preparing for the worst. drawing from his experiences at the MOD, he's even created a war plan which reflects how the British government would likely respond to an extraterrestrial attack. It's not really that detailed. It's just general common sense things that you would think a government would do in the case of any kind of attack, really. He told the UF investigator, a.k.a. Nick Pope, told the Sun Online, I based the document that he put together as much on declassified plans for the Iraq war as on my knowledge of UFOs and extraterrestrial life. His prediction would see the UK ally itself with NATO and the UN and use Air Force and Navy to hammer aliens with missiles. Hammer them.
Hammer time.
Take that, you aliens. You dirty, rotten, stinking aliens. Have a missile up your ass.
Whoa, where'd that come from? Someone needs to get in the Christmas spirit.
This is what we get for taking a month off when we come back.
So it would seem.
Mm-hmm. Nick argues that we'd have to rely on nuclear defenses as a last resort, but even then, we'd almost certainly be outgunned by our interplanetary conquerors. So his view on this is very dire. It's a no-win scenario. It's the Kobayashi Maru of situations here. The war plan also advises that we should also develop a biological weapon to deal with living invaders or use powerful energy pulses to disable invading machines. Aliens capable of getting to Earth would clearly have technology way ahead of ours, so getting into any kind of war should be the last resort, he says. We can only guess at what technology they may have and what weaponry they might possess. I hope that if aliens arrive on Earth, they'll come as explorers or scientists, but that's wishful thinking. The reality is that super advanced aliens would probably arrive as slavers, zookeepers, or pest controllers, Nick predicts. He added, the biggest single thing we can do to protect ourselves is to acknowledge that there's an issue here. So realize that there is the possibility of someday maybe aliens that don't have our best interests in mind would come to Earth and threaten us in some way. What's the Alcoholics Anonymous? The first step is acknowledging you have a problem.
Yes.
Humanity needs an alien invasion intervention.
All right.
Then we can move forward with our plans.
Fair enough.
So what else do you think we could do to prepare for some kind of alien invasion, Brad?
I don't know. Get our own crap together on this planet so we can unify something.
That would be a good first step, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe stop being so polarized in our politics.
Things don't seem to be so good right now globally. No. So I think once we can get stuff back together and share technology and work on things together, I think we're kind of... We're kind of done.
I think the world needs to come together, hold hands, and sing, I'd like to buy the world a Coke.
I think it's going to take more than that.
Okay, all right. So an idea I had for a way of preparing would be to, and this goes back to a lot of disaster movies, is to have a bunker of some kind prepared. It wouldn't be really a defense, but it would be a way of surviving. So in case the aliens do come and they want to kill us, we'd have a place to hide.
Yeah, at this point, I think that's all we can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just duck and cover.
Us and the cockroaches. Dig a big hole and just climb in.
Yeah, I really wish that I had a message of hope and joy to give people, but I'm just really not feeling it.
Okay, since you're not going to contribute in any way, Brad, I have another idea. Let's have a planning session. You know, nothing's off the table. No crazy ideas. No stupid ideas. Let's just, everybody, okay, this is going to have to happen after the world kind of does unite. After we sing the song, hold hands. After that, we should have a planning session. And then, okay. and then maybe, you know, have a short range, medium range, long range plans.
You know, in a perfect world, yes, absolutely.
I'd like to buy the world a Coke. What's the next line? Oh, in perfect harmony? In perfect
harmony.
Oh, keeping company. Okay, I'll just shut up now. If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Network on all the major social networks or click on the icons at gncast.com.
We move on to basically starting to get people prepared for alien encounters. And this comes to us from a university in Turkey, and they're offering a course called Ufology and Exopolitics.
That's...
And its aim is to get students ready to give a proper welcome to visitors from space.
That sounds really interesting. If that was offered when I was in college, I would have stayed in.
Yeah, I went to technical college, so I didn't really have that that option. Practical preparations and interstellar diplomacy are only part of the course focus. Students will also learn about alleged government cover-ups of alien activity on Earth. A tutor from the university told the Turkish news agency, "We believe representatives from the world and extraterrestrial civilizations will soon be making official contact with each other. We think they will be in an open and mass contact," this tutor said. And he expected this contact within 10 to 15 years.
Wow, that's pretty quick.
Yeah. You know, looking at with all of the exoplanet research that we've been doing, you know, those numbers are kind of lining up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So anything's possible within the next 10 to 15 years. So whether you've always wanted a degree in alien conspiracies or just want to take a few lessons in interstellar diplomacy, now you can. And this just in.
Nice.
This tutor blames a specific entity for depriving humanity of knowledge related to alien activity on Earth, which is what's going to happen, what they're going to cover in the course. He names as the culprit a purportedly secret organization called Majestic 12, which we've spoken of in the past, which has been keeping visits from outer space a secret by any means necessary, murder included.
Murder?
Murder.
I wish I had a cool...
Murder, murder, murder. Sorry, if you're fans of Hot Fuzz, you caught that. All right. This organization was allegedly established by Harry Truman.
Oh, that guy.
That frickin' guy. For the purpose of protecting national interests. The Majestic 12 has become the stuff of legend and invariably sits at the heart of UFO conspiracy theories. Some have tried to debunk the myth and get to the bottom of the whole thing, but the mystery is nowhere near solved, and this remains a highly complex matter. The FBI studied the first documents to mention the Majestic 12 as part of an inquiry involving the U.S. Air Force Office of Special Investigators and declared the following on its vault website. I quote, In 1988, two FBI offices received similar versions of a memo titled Operation Majestic 12. Claiming to be highly classified government document, the memo appeared to be a briefing for newly elected President Eisenhower on a secret committee created to exploit a recovery of an extraterrestrial aircraft and cover up this work from public examination. An Air Force investigator determined the document to be fake.
That's what they want you to think.
Absolutely. If you're going to go down the rabbit hole, that's your defense.
They made it so good that it seemed real, but then they made it too real that it seemed fake, but that's what they wanted you to think.
Absolutely. That's the only way that that works.
See, it's a double negative cover-up. Double indemnity cover-up?
It's double something.
Yeah, double trouble. If you had the chance to take this class, would you?
You know, I'm going to say no.
Really?
And I would say no because I'm a practical person, and I know that each class costs a lot of money. And I was doing school purely, and this is technical college, I was doing school purely on student loans.
Ah, okay.
With just a little bit of grant involved in there.
So if you had a scholarship of some kind, if you weren't paying for your university, would you take this course?
Still no.
Really?
I would have had other things.
Because you value your time and your money.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of how I roll.
I'd like to see the what kind of like projects or, you know, things you would do, not just the studying part and the lectures, but what the you know, assignments would be in this class. It would be neat if they, like, you know, you had to go out to somewhere out in the woods or whatever and try to, like, do the procedures involved in investigating a UFO sighting, you know, without one actually happening. Or maybe they go out and try to see some UFOs at night. I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see. I'm not sure how the astronomy department would like to be lumped in with that course, but I could see them, you know, doing some work in the planetarium to, you know, if you were going to be saying, you know, UFOs for this particular sighting were located at this particular point in space and, you know, kind of dig into that.
Mm-hmm. What constellation are these guys coming from?
Yeah.
Or, you know, you take the reports of actual aliens and people have said where they come from, like the grays come from the reticuli, Zeta reticuli, I think, something like that. You know, find that, you know, look for that on your star charts or whatever. Star charts. What are we, in Star Trek?
Yes.
It would be also interesting to kind of go back to the first story and maybe write up some kind of scenario, like, say these aliens are looking for resources. You know, how would you defend against yourself if they're like a particular kind of alien? What would you do? Or how would you defeat them or try to defeat them? That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, some war games. Is there an alien invasion game out there? Do you know?
Oh, Lord.
It should be.
I had it on the tip of my tongue. It was on, like, PlayStation 1, XCOM.
Okay.
That's one.
I was thinking more of along the lines of strategy, you know, strategy game.
Yeah, XCOM is. Oh. It's not real time. It's strategy, and you basically take teams of agents to investigate and try to push back against an alien invasion.
Oh, okay. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. I used to watch my friend Rob play the game, and I'm not that much of a strategy game player like he is. So, I mean, I would watch it, but I never really got into it, try as he might. So
make your application now for the University of Turkey. No, it's Akdeniz. You're better at pronouncing.
I wasn't even going to try.
Akdeniz University in Turkey. Apply today. Maybe they have an online course.
And anything's possible.
Okay, we'll check it out.
Anything is possible.
And report back next time. If you enjoy the Alien Invasion and would like to do more than just subscribe or listen or follow us on social media, please consider becoming a partner with us. Go to gncasts.com/support. That's gncasts.com/support. And click on the Patreon link. That's Patreon. We have different levels of partners, all with rewards, like the $1 level. $1 a month. Anybody can afford $1 a month. That's all we ask. $1 a month, and you can become a partner with us. Or if you want to just to pony up a little bit more, $3 a month or $5 a month. You can get your name mentioned on our show, receive a bonus podcast, or even have a whole message read by one of us. And when we say all of our podcasts, we mean every single one. You get your name mentioned, or you get your message read, or you get that extra podcast. We'd like to thank Brian Jensen for recently becoming a partner with us. You can be just like Brian by going to gncasts.com/support. And we thank you for becoming a partner with the Galactic Network and Alien Invasion Podcast.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
This is a report of somebody seeing something either in the sky or on the ground that suspiciously looks like what could be an alien craft of some kind. This is the sighting segment, and I found one that's kind of close to where I live. I'm not exactly sure how close Newmarket, Ontario is to Ottawa. I haven't looked on the map. Could be really far away because Ontario is a huge province, but I have a feeling that it's not, because the Oshawa Harbor, it's on Lake Ontario, so it's within a day's drive.
Nice.
So, Daniel Kustashin said he had a bad feeling. I got a bad feeling about this. He's Han Solo.
It's a good start.
Like he was about to enter a haunted house when he showed up to the gates at the Oshawa Harbor on June 22nd around 9:30 a.m. That's this year, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah. He arrived alone to pick up some metal rebar for the company he drives transport truck for. I felt very uncomfortable all of a sudden, said the Newmarket resident. It felt like someone was watching me. It always feels like somebody's watching me. Oh. Mr. Kustashin said he checked his surroundings, looked left, then right, and that's when he saw the object hovering over the waters of Lake Ontario. He managed to snap a couple of photos with his camera before it took off into the sky. After I saw it, I couldn't sleep for 2 days. I had mixed feelings inside me, he explained. I felt dreadful. Mr. Kustashin described what he saw as a black object that was a disc shape. Most times, the disc shape is either silver or gray, or it's glowing. You don't really hear of the black discs that often.
No, you don't.
You see the black triangles, but not the black discs that much.
I'm glad you threw in the S there. That could have taken a turn.
Well, I'm a professional, Brad.
You are.
There were no lights, no sounds, no nothing, he said. That UFO was far from the harbor. It was far in the distance. He said he's always been a believer that UFOs exist and thinks he's seen them before, but this time was different. I've never felt so close enough to see it and get proof. I was hoping it'd take me, but it didn't that day, he joked. Hopefully, the man in black don't show up at my door. So this guy sounds like he has a sense of humor about the whole thing.
Well, you kind of have to.
The one thing that I'm really kind of disappointed about is they don't give too many details. Although this was a news report. It wasn't like a report on MUFON, you know?
Sure.
It doesn't give all the stats. It's just basically the review of what happened, not all the details.
Boom.
What does it say how far it was away from him? He just said it was kind of far, right? Yeah, it was.
Yes.
It was far in the distance. Well, I guess I know where I'm going on my next vacation. Go to Newmarket, Ontario.
Absolutely.
The Oshawa Harbor on Lake Michigan.
And get the deets, yo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, in my search for this sighting, I went on to UFO Sightings Daily and saw our dear friend Scott C. Waring, some of his stories. I opted to not pick one of his.
Yay!
I thought I'd check it out. I'd do my due diligence and check out UFO Sightings Daily. I went on to the MUFON site as well. What's the one that you, I think you used it last time. It's not MUFON. It's a different one that we'd never really used before.
You know, I just cast a...
MUFORK?
Is that MUFORK? I don't recall.
NUFORK?
Unfortunately, I didn't save the link to the site.
Spork?
Yes. .com.
Spork.com. We should grab that URL before somebody gets it.
The galaxy far, far away feels closer now than ever before, and your guides through this galaxy are ready to help. I'm Zach Hagenbusher, one half of the new Jedi Archives podcast with Ben Schultz. Join us every other Tuesday for our experiences with the Star Wars saga, from the core films that we know and love, well, you know, some of them, to the annals of history and the works that shaped Star Wars into what we know it as today. Just jump in wherever you'd like. Download an episode of the new Jedi Archives today.
Let's do our picks and warnings, shall we?
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making.
All right, let's talk about things we have watched, listened to, read, played, made, whatever, involving extraterrestrials or aliens of some kind. And Brad, I should have picked this one, but I'm glad you did. So go ahead, just launch into yours. What is it?
Well, mine is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came back for a fifth season, and their two-parter was Orientation. And when we last left our intrepid heroes at the end of season four, they were nabbed by a government organization, and everything went dark, and Coulson was in space. And everybody went, what? How did that happen? Well, we find out. And I think that it was really cool that they... I'm not going to try to give away too many things here. But one of the... I want to call it one of the obelisks, or one of the stones that allowed them to travel, and by them I mean Emma and Coulson, travel to another planet.
Isn't it Gemma?
Gemma, sorry. Yeah. There was these alien objects that basically look like stones, but at a certain point in time, they will kind of turn into a liquid almost, and they become portals to somewhere. The one that we saw was black and had markings on it. We come to find out that there is a white version of this with markings on it. And I'm not going to give away kind of one of the big, oh my gosh, moments that happened. But we do find out where they are. We're not entirely sure why they are there, but it seems that there are people who believe that this was supposed to happen.
Yeah, people know who they are. Some people do.
They show up and they're like, oh, it's you. You're like, man, we're in space. How does it go? How do you know us? We do get to see the Kree. Now, the last time we saw the Kree was a partially dissected Kree that was in a glass tube. And that was how they got some of the material to do Tahiti. And we will be seeing the Kree most likely in the 2019 Captain Marvel film.
Oh, okay.
They figure in kind of big with the Captain Marvel mythos. So
what's the, okay, hang on one second. The character, I forget the actor's name, but he was in The Walking Dead. He's in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's the blue guy.
Oh, Michael Rooker.
Yeah. What race is he?
Oh, he is not Kree. He's a Centaurian.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it.
I'm really excited for this season. I think that they've kind of jumped into the middle of a kind of a big mystery. And I think that it's going to hold attention. So
I think it's pretty brilliant that they're taking the show in an entirely new direction, pretty much. Like they're changing the type of show it is in a way. They're going from an intrigue type show, you know, almost a procedural type show, to one could say it's a space opera in a way. I mean, they're in space. They're flying around
in
spaceships.
In space, yes.
They're flying around in freaking spaceships.
I'm really looking forward to actually kind of getting a look at the Kree society. Mm-hmm. We get a little bit of a peek at that in the first two episodes. But yeah, I think we've got a lot a lot of good stuff to be looking forward to this season.
My final question on this, is this based at all on any comic book series?
No, not to my knowledge.
Okay. Well, there wasn't really a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic book series before the show, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking back to like the Nick Fury days. So, I mean, yes, but not dealing with the current mythos, whatever you want to call it. They've retooled some things at Marvel and, it's different.
Okay. So how many flying saucers will you be rating this episode?
You know, I'm going to give this four flying saucers.
Four out of five. All right.
Yeah.
High praise. Good stuff. So my pick this week is another documentary I found on Netflix. And this is probably not on your Netflix because it's a Canadian TV series called Portal to the Unknown.
Nice.
So they basically just touch on different paranormal, unexplained type subjects. And the episode that I picked, of course, involved aliens and UFOs. It was called Lights in the Sky. And it was neat because they talk about the Men in Black for a while. And there was a couple of incidents here in Canada where people actually were visited by Men in Black and they explained how they didn't talk normally. And their theory was that these Men in Black were aliens, or they were hybrids of aliens. And yeah, I've heard that theory before. I've heard both theories, that they're either government agents, human government agents, or like hybrid aliens that visit you. So there's that. And then they talk about three pretty major UFO sightings or incidences. I think we've talked about all three on this show before. The first one is the guy in Manitoba, and it's 1967. He's out prospecting for rocks out in the middle of nowhere, and he comes upon a flying saucer. that lands right in front of him. So he goes up to the flying saucer. After its door opened, he peeks his head in, and he sees, like, computers and, like, hears all these noises, and he doesn't know what an alien is. He doesn't know what a UFO is. He's pretty down-to-earth kind of guy, not really wise to the ways of that kind of phenomenon. So he has no idea what he's looking at. All of a sudden, the door shuts, and the UFO takes off, and he gets, like, sprayed with, like, steam.
Oh, wow.
And it knocks him out. Not knocks him out, but it makes him kind of dizzy, and he's having a hard time walking. He feels sick. He gets back to his hotel, and I think his son picks him up. He goes to the hospital later on, and then there's this, like, burn mark on his stomach that are like a grate, like a metal grate. And then years later, I think he gets investigated some more. Like, he goes back to the doctor, and they do more tests on him because he's tired all the time, and he's not feeling well. And they determine that it's some kind of radiation poisoning or radiation sickness.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's the first. You don't remember us talking about that on this podcast before, that guy?
It kind of rings a bell.
I think it was a while ago that we talked about it. So. The second one was a UFO over a hotel in Montreal in 1990. I thought it was 99. That says 90 here. Anyways. It was a hotel in the middle of downtown, and it was witnessed by a lot of people. Like, there was people on the roof of this hotel swimming, and there's this not to be mistaken UFO, like a solid-shaped UFO, just hovering there. And the cops got involved, the RCMP got involved, military got involved, and you know, it was fully covered by the media. The CBC did a report on it. It was really cool. I actually saw the video of, they showed the video on the documentary of this UFO. It was pretty cool.
Huh.
And then the final one that they talk about is the Shag Harbor incident. Shag Harbor, Nova Scotia. I'm sure that you remember that one, where it was the UFO that came in to the harbor. It kind of almost like it crashed in a way. Like, it, I think there was another UFO involved, and the one kind of, there was an explosion, so it went down to the lake surface, the lake, the water, and it just kind of hovered there for the longest time.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Yeah. And then it eventually, like, went underneath the water, and it just disappeared, and they had no idea what happened to it. And they actually did some research later on. Like, they brought divers in, and they tried to figure out if they could find any kind of, like, wreckage, but they never did. So those are the three big UFO cases involved in this episode of Portal to the Unknown. So I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 flying saucers. It was pretty cool.
Please subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going gncast.com/subscribe. Or search iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere podcasts are offered.
That's going to do it for this edition of The Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. If you'd like to read more about the stories that we covered on this episode, click the links in the show notes. We'd like to thank a few people. Monkey Warhol for giving us our intro music, a song called Alien Syndrome. You can find out more about his stuff, and it's all very good stuff, at Monkey Warhol, that's warhol.bandcamp.com, monkeywarhol.bandcamp.com. Also to Retward von Dernberg, a composer from Germany, for doing our closing song called Bee Water. Learn more about him and his music at thecaravel.net, thecaravel.net. And finally, thanks to Ben Olson.
Hi, Ben.
For recording our disclaimer audio at the very start of this episode, go to benolson.com for more on his stuff. All right, before we get out of here, final thought. We used to have final thoughts, but we only have one of you now. So final Final thought, Brad.
We, unfortunately, Alex fell ill this week, so we did not get a chance to see Justice League.
Oh.
So, yeah. Not sure when we're going to be able to fit it in now.
I have not seen it either, but I didn't see any of the superhero movies this year, besides Wonder Woman, so.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a very busy year. A very busy dog year. The dog takes a lot of our time. It's like having a kid. It's like having a baby, pretty much.
It can be until they get a little bit older, and God willing, they calm down.
All right. Thanks, Brad, and thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's GNCAST.com.